a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
If you have not visited one of the national parks in Utah yet this summer, let me just tell you right now, you are welcome. You are welcome for this discussion that we're about to have. Jason Perry just got back from Zion National Park. And hold that thought, Jason. I know the experience was daunting.
It was.
Imagine you're a woman, though, named Libby. You're excited to hit Arches National Park in Moab. See the Red Rock for the first time, those beautiful arches. Maybe you even get in there in time to sort of watch the sunrise. You get there just after breakfast. And you can't get in. Not because a pandemic has closed it to visitors. No, because there's a crush of people who got there first. This is the story of why national parks in Utah are now making national news. Jason, take it away. I have a feeling you are the male version of Libby.
Well, I did experience the full Libby
really?
issue.
At Zion.
So it's true. So during COVID and as we're emerging, I mean, our parks have become very, very popular. And we love them, of course. But here is the thing. It's not just Utahns going there. It's people from everywhere are going to these parks. So we had our own little version of this at Zion's, and I'm sure a lot of people in the state of Utah have been there as well. So you met my wife, Mary Catherine.
Yes.
She's been on the program many times here. So she's a planner. So
yes.
we go to Zion's. We've got all the kids. You know, on the first day, you know, we think, well, let's just eat a quick breakfast, just like Libby, right? and then we'll get up to the park. So the first day we get, and there's a little bit of a line, and they say, we don't even know if there's going to be a parking spot up there for you near the trailhead. So they let us, they let us go up. And so we got the very last parking spot.
Oh,
so,
did you have to like wedge the SUV between a fire hydrant and
all legal,
and
of course,
cliff?
But it was terrible, and we were very worried about it, lots of people. So but we think we've got this figured out. And so the next morning, same thing. We think we'll just get there. It's just right before 6 o'clock. We got a little breakfast. Not only were we a mile and a half down the road, people had figured out from the morning we got there that they've got to be there early. People were in their cars at the gate asleep. Because they got there so early just to preserve a spot in line so they could get up.
So it's like Black Friday waiting for the three TVs on the other side, and the Perry family comes up in their car and...
Yes. Tell that to the kids.
Oh, what'd you do?
Well, so what we did is we found a parking spot a long ways away, put on the backpacks, grabbed our water, and did a 3-mile hike to the trailhead.
What?
It was... Well, the kids were good sports about it. I was less of a good sport, particularly.
You had a dad attitude?
I did.
Okay.
Sadly, it's true.
Were you mad at the fam or were you mad at the park rangers?
Yeah, I wasn't mad at the family.
You're mad at Congress.
I needed someone to direct my rage to clearly because I was walking up those 3 miles. But the reality is just there's just it's just very popular. People do want to be in there, and it gets to the issue which I don't know if this is part of something you and I have talked about in the past. But people are talking about transportation in and out of those parks, and how do we make that more efficient? The time the buses were not really running up and down in there, and so it was just really hard. So this what Libby was describing, I don't like it to be such a negative on the national stage because we love these parks so much, but they are very well used right now.
I didn't just pull the name Libby out of thin air, although I love the name Libby. She was featured in a Wall Street Journal article, and here's how the article starts. Southeast Utah is among the most popular tourist destinations in the U.S., with two national parks and millions of undeveloped acres. But visitors are increasingly spending more time sitting in their car. And they talked to this woman named Libby Preslock. So she recently went on a Thursday. A Thursday. Like, what day is sacred at our national parks? If you can't get into it on a boring old Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning, only to find that it had was full and signs were telling visitors to come back in 3 to 5 hours. So you are the Libby. She was at Arches. You're the Libby of Zions.
I guess I've just got that title now.
How was it once you got in?
Beautiful. Once you get in, but it was...
Like what, looking over the people's heads, beautiful? Was it that crowded?
There were a lot of people there.
Really?
Was the reality. Just a lot of people there, the lines for the restrooms, those kinds of things. It's all an indication of the popularity of these great destinations, and there are. But I will just say this. Arches is amazing. You know, Zion's absolutely amazing. But we have a lot of really amazing other state parks. There are other places to go. Maybe this is the experience we're talking about with her as well. Maybe this is time to spread the love.
Let me tell you what happened when Libby went to another nearby national park in a moment. But I want to ask you this question. Were the lines worse at Zion's National Park or at Disneyland? Would you compare the lines that you saw at the national park to those you waited in at Disneyland, hours long?
They were pretty long. I think Disneyland still takes it.
So you think Disneyland lines are worse?
I think they were, but it takes a certain amount of effort to get up there into these parks, and you know you still have the world coming there, a lot of people throughout the United States and the state of Utah. It's just a matter of spreading it out over various opportunities inside the state, but it is getting to the point where we have to address it a little bit because they're getting to, even when we were there, they will close the road by 6 o'clock in the morning. It is just that big of a deal, that many people coming through.
And unless you know that, kids are going to be disappointed. Families are just going to have to find an alternative. And that's a day trip. Like, that's a day gone, a vacation.
It's true. Plan ahead, be early.
So Libby does what most parents would do. She flips a U-ey. She's at the gate at Arches, and she's waiting out. Actually, it's at, 9 a.m., and the park says, we're full. Come back in 3 to 5 hours. So she flips a U-ey and heads to Canyonlands, which isn't that far, where she waits, according to the Wall Street Journal, an hour and a half to get inside Canyonlands. So Arches has attracted 15% more people from 2019. Canyonlands, their visits have jumped by 30% in just 2 years. Of course, the parks were closed in 2020, a lot of them, to visitors. We have breaking news right now. Amy Kobabe stepping in from the newsroom. What you got, Amy?
Well, the committee that is looking at a new name for Dixie State University has made a recommendation.
Ooh, what is it?
A 11-3 vote to rename the university the Utah Polytechnic State University. And it came down, we understand, to two names that they were focusing on, Utah Polytechnic University and Utah Technological University. So now they've submit this name, and it'll have to be approved by the Utah legislature. So this is not the name of the university yet. Still needs final approval, but this is the name that they're going to recommend.
This is Dixie State University in St. George. The name came under fire as being controversial not so long ago. And you're going to have to repeat that name because that is the last name on earth. I thought they would rename it. Say it again, Amy.
Utah Polytechnic State University with an alternative name of Utah Tech.
Wow. That is a mouthful. Amy Kobabe from the newsroom, thanks so much for being first on the air with that information. And we'll continue to follow that throughout the day right here at KSL News Radio. That name's a shocker to me. But Jason, you work for the University of Utah and you've been in the system. Surprising name or was that expected?
Well, it's one of the names that was on the list. I mean, I cannot tell you how controversial this was during this last legislative session. It occupied so much of the time of our committee and these legislators. They sent it back to the community. It's interesting that adding this polytechnic name to it, which has an idea of instruction in technical arts, applied sciences, which is what Dixie has wanted. Of course, I gave my plug. I wanted it to be University of Utah South. Apparently that name did not catch any attention there, but I thought that would have been nice. But very interesting as they try to chart the direction of the university. And I think that's what they're trying to capture in that long name.
Okay, well, we've got that name. Just broke it here live on the Dave Indigenovic Show with Jason Perry. I don't even know if I can. Utah Polytechnic State University. It's with an alternate. We don't know what the legislature is going to do with that yet, but we'll continue to watch that here with our team of reporters and producers at KSL News Radio. We just had a lengthy discussion about National Parks in Utah making national news because they are so crowded. And the wait times are hours long. And in some cases, people aren't even getting into the parks. Jason, I want to talk to you about lessons learned when you took your family down to Zions National Park. And also, I'm going to ask for calls from listeners. 801-575-TALK. Let me ask this question. There's consideration right now for an appointment system, mm-hmm. a reservation system. So given all that we know now about how crowded our national parks in Utah have become, would you say yes to creating a reservation system? Mm-hmm. I want our listeners to weigh in on that. 801-575-TALK. 801-575-TALK. Do you want to make an appointment to get into Arches? Next.
And Dejanovic.
If you're planning on going to any of the national parks in Utah this summer, be warned. We are making national news right now. The Wall Street Journal just writing about how crowded it is at places like Arches. Visitors up 15%. Visitors at Candylands up 30%. And then there's Zion National Park, where my special guest host, Jason Perry, took his family, and you were hit with a wall of people.
So many people. Yeah, as I was mentioning, all the family want to do is just go hiking up through Zions, which is just so amazing, of course. And as I mentioned before, you know, my wife Mary Catherine had it all planned out that first day. We're the last car in. But I have to tell you, there's some lessons learned from that second day.
Tell us what they are.
Well, unless you like sleeping in your car at the gate, you know, from 3 a.m. on, which because word got out. You have to plan these things in advance. I will tell you, if you're going to some of these parks, there's going to be a wait. That's the reality. And the gate may be closed at the bottom, particularly at a place like Zion's. And so a couple of things. Make sure you bring a lot of water. Bring some good hiking shoes. And I have to tell you, you have to be prepared for what happened to us. As I mentioned, you know, Mary Catherine had a good attitude about it. But when we had to hike a mile to the parking lot and another 3 miles to the trailhead, you know, I was like not ready for the rest of that.
You had a dad attitude.
I did for a little while. So you just gotta adapt and be willing to go along with it just a little bit. But you just gotta be prepared because you may get in that early morning, or you just may not. You gotta be prepared either way. The family's gotta be prepared. It's not easy to say, hey kids, I know you're ready for this hike, you know, up, but we're gonna go 3 miles first. All right, and then.
And your kids are 11 years and up, yeah. Which means that you can reason with them. Yes. But if you're taking a 4 or 5 year old. That may be way longer than you had expected.
Well, it's true. I mean, that's what I was thinking as we were coming down. People were, you know, pushing strollers up for that 3 mile stretch up to the trailhead. You know, I was
goodness,
thinking,
oh, you must really
hot.
Want that family photo for Instagram. I think I turned the car around. Of course, in the Wall Street Journal article, they interviewed a woman named Libby who went to Arches. Mm-hmm. It was closed at 9 a.m. They said it was full. And so she made the, you know, move that most parents make. Fine, I'll flip a UE right here. I'll show them. And she drives over to Canyonlands, yeah. A few miles away, and finds out that she's got to wait an hour and a half in line to get in. And she finally got in. But still, I mean, there you go. The first half of the first day gone, just trying to figure out how you're going to weasel your family into one of these national parks that nobody wanted to go to. I remember when my parents would tell me when I was growing up, hey, we're going to a national park for vacation. I'm like, oh, yuck. That's horrible. And now you can't keep people out of these things. In a moment, I want to ask you what your opinion is on what's become a controversial topic. Do we start making reservations like we do dinner reservations for, you know, a window of time that we're allowed to be in a national park? Hold that thought, Jason. We want to get Bob Grove. He's a tour guide and travel blogger from Road Trippin' with Bob and Mark. Hello, Bob. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well.
So are there any tips you have as an expert on this that our folks, our listeners can do to avoid these kinds of crowds like what Jason ran into?
Well, I tell you, it's getting harder and harder coming up with good viable tips anymore because we've never seen crowds like this. We thought it was an anomaly, but it seems to be going and going. I think it will eventually. This wave might go out at some point. But, you know, one of the things that I found is everybody talks about going in early. Well, everybody's hearing that same advice, go in early, early, early. That's what everybody ends up doing. They're going in very early. And so it's getting crowded earlier in the morning. One thing I've tried doing myself, just on my own personal trips, I go against the grain. So I go out late. When everybody else is coming out of the park, that's when I'm going in. And I'm finding, like at not the Narrows in Zion, I only live 20 minutes from the park where I'm at here. And I found that by going into the Narrows late afternoon, mid-afternoon, around 2-3 o'clock, most everybody's starting to come out of the park for the day. And that's a good time to go into the Narrows. I wouldn't recommend that as a time to go to Angel's Landing or some of that. And this is another point. What we're seeing this year that we haven't seen in previous years is it's a very different crowd. We're not seeing the sightseers like we did in the past in the buses. They're on multi-day, multi-park tours. They're just hopping from one park to another. They're regional travelers. They're going into a area and they're kind of nesting there and spending time. And they're more interested in hiking than sightseeing. So what you're going to find are the biggest crowds at the popular hikes. So that's going to be Delicate Arch. That's going to be the Grand Wash. It's going to be the Narrows and Angel's Landing and so forth. That's where everybody's flocking to. So you're always going to find crowds there, and they're going very early because they want to beat the heat.
Well, that is so true. Beating the heat is exactly right. So maybe it depends on the site where you're going to go, whether you do it this afternoon, Bob. I see that's the case. Talk for a second, because you do so much not just on your advice on these tours and where you can go, but we have these great national parks, but we also have some really, really great state parks. You ever talk about that? We got 45 of them. Should we do some alternate plans?
Oh, we do. We have some amazing state parks. We also have, the state parks are getting busier, but there's a lot of state parks, this year. I've never seen Goblin Valley completely filled, the parking lot completely filled. We're seeing that quite frequently now. Great parks that are not busy, like Gooseneck State Park down in San Juan County. That one is almost always available and rarely crowded. But yeah, we have a lot of great state parks. The ones here down in the southwest part of the state in St. George are going to be busier because we have a much larger population density and it's a more popular destination near Zion. But you know what? There's also a lot of great areas within the national parks that aren't as busy. I have a saying that tourists follow pavement. If you can get off the pavement, you're going to get away from the crowd. So that's one of the recommendations I make is try to get away from the populated areas where the pavement is. Capital Reef's a good park for that because you can go back into Cathedral Valley and get into a lot of areas that are away from the pavement. Part of Zion National Park is Kolob Canyons and Kolob Terrace. These are two areas. They have their own separate entrances. Everybody goes into Zion Canyon on the scenic drive where the shuttle runs. And, of course, that's going to be the most crowded area because that's where everybody wants to go. And up on the east side past the tunnel, and there's very little parking up there. So you're going to deal with those parking issues. But if you go into Kolob Canyons, it's starting to get busier there because more people are discovering it. That's entrances right off of Interstate 15 near New Harmony. And that's a great place to see, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful sections of Zion. Now, people are going to probably yell at me for even saying that now, but
Bob Grove is a tour guide and travel blogger from Road Tripping with Bob and Mark. And in the 30 seconds we have left, one of the solutions could be what's being talked about down in the Arches area, and that is to create a reservation system where people are allowed to have a window of time to go into the park. What's your take on that, Bob?
I'm not a big fan of that right now. I saw what happened with the shuttle reservations, and I thought that was a real mess. So unless they can come up with a viable solution of how a reservation system will work, I'm really not on board with that at this point.
In what way?
Well, first of all, it's hard to plan your trip around a reservation to a national park when you have a multi-day trip planned, and it doesn't always work out that way. First of all, to get even a reservation on the shuttle was incredibly difficult. And if you didn't, how do you plan your trip to Zion if you can't get into the place, into the area of the park that you're really there to see? There's no easy solution with arches. I think a shuttle system, or, you know, they've proposed an area just outside the park where there's a staging area where they can stage a shuttle and park and go into the park that way. I spend a lot of time in arches, and there's really not a lot of parking there to begin with. Really think they need to look at that.
Okay. Bob Grove, tour guide and travel blogger from Road Trippin' with Bob and Mark. Say hi to Mark for us. Thank you so much, Bob, for jumping on the line. Jason, you just did the Zion National Park debacle. We had to walk in for, it sounds like 4 miles. You keep saying three. And you had to park way outside the park. What do you think? What's your take on implementing a reservation system?
Well, we did see some issues with the shuttle reservations Bob was talking about, too. But here's what I would say. There was enough people there that I think maybe this would be something to explore a bit right here. Maybe it's a hybrid for a minute. You see, have some days. A pilot program starting right here on your show, Deb. So that's what we should probably do. We should start looking at some of those days where it's the most difficult. Start there. It's a couple of those days. First come, first serve on the rest. See how it works.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.